Prices Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Femi Befe here on the desk as we get ready for the Bills and the Browns. What we do know, Todd Monken said it is going to be Shedeur Sanders for the first half. It will be Deshaun Watson in the third quarter, and then it will be Dylan Gabriel in the fourth quarter. So you at least have an exact, like, you know, a lot of these games were going, this guy might play or might play a series. Maybe it's two, maybe it's three. There is a script here for this. It will be the first half for Shedeur. It will be the third quarter for Watson, and it will be the fourth quarter for Gabriel.
100%. And also, like, it's the preseason. Why are we hiding this information? Yeah. Like, you know, like, who cares if we know what the rotation is going to be like? But I do like the plan from the Cleveland Browns for the Buffalo Bills. No starters. Josh Allen will be getting rest. He is in uniform, but he's going to be getting rest as well as other starters since they got their work in during the joint practice between the two teams. So Kyle Allen will get the start today, which Kyle Allen's played a decent amount of regular season football. And then after him, Shane Buechele is the quarterback there for the Buffalo Bills. But for me, I did not bet the side with this game because I think the side is just right. Like, Cleveland should be favored based on the quarterbacks and the rotation that they're going to outline. I more so like the under. And I bet under 36.5, minus 106 was the juice on that one. I just don't think we're going to, first of all, Shedeur is not good. So I know for sure we're getting a not so good quarterback for an entire half of a football game. That's already going to intrigue me to the under. Watson, I don't know if anybody saw what we saw last week, also not good. And then Dylan Gabriel is Dylan Gabriel, also not good. So the three most notable quarterbacks in this game are not good, and then you put Kyle Allen on top of that. To me, it just screamed under. I'm not sure where the betting market currently sits right now. It looks like we're still 36.5, so it's out there if anybody else wants to bet it, but it was a pretty easy bet on the under for me.
Has there ever been an organization that almost you would be okay with them just saying we're going to tank this season? Then they need a cleansing so incredibly bad. And whether you think Arch Manning is not good or Dante or whoever ends up at the top of this draft. I mean, again, there are 10 guys that if you go to various early mock drafts have made their way into the first round, right? I mean, there are a lot of talent evaluators, like a lot of guys that are in college football right now. This organization so badly needs to be at the top of this draft. I mean, they have to reset. They have to hit the reset button. And the only way, as we know, the only way to do that is to get a new quarterback in town.
Yeah. If they want to win big, if they want to win big, they need a new guy.
Because the roster's not all that bad.
It's not bad.
It's not all that bad.
I've been having this conversation, and it sounds so gross because it's going to go run contrary to what I just said. But from an award standpoint, Todd Monken is actually the ideal guy you'd want for coach of the year. It's just that can you ever get anything out of these quarterbacks?
Right.
But if they ever did, and let's say they were the 7 seed at 9-8, how is he not winning the award? And he's around 30-1 or so to win coach of the year. I'm no, this is the guy that has the lowest bar to clear. Now he can't jump, but he has the lowest bar to clear. And if he ever got to it, that is such a rock solid case because the offensive line is okay. The skill position guy is young, but talented.
Defense is pretty solid.
Everyone makes all the noise about how they lost Myles Garrett. Well, they did bring in Jared Verse.
Yeah.
Carson Schwessinger was the defensive rookie of the year. They have a secondary that's pretty solid. This is not a terrible roster.
It is not.
It's just, unfortunately, they're pretty horrendous at the most important position.
You cannot win consistently if you do not have a guy that can throw the ball and complete passes. So, Baltimore and Minnesota also coming to you here momentarily. This is 2.5. Oh, we just had a 3 pop at Caesar. So anywhere from 2.5 to 3 in favor of the Vikings, another 36.5 total here in this one. So Kyler Murray will not play. Kevin O'Connell said after the volume of work they got against the Ravens in the joint practice,
this is where it is.
Some of these coaches just take the practices more, more than the game. So
can we start to air these joint practices?
We were just complaining again about the NFL Network not showing us the game that is actually live right now. Why do we not get a feed of these joint practices?
I would pay money.
Yeah.
I really would. I wouldn't pay a lot of money, but I would pay money to see it.
Apparently, if they're getting enough out of them to make decisions on who is playing or not playing in different games like that, then
it's worthwhile.
Yeah, then we should watch them. Yeah.
It's worthwhile to watch it. NFL Network, I watch NFL Network occasionally. I see what you guys air every single day during the weekdays. It's reruns of garbage preseason games or the stuff that you don't even care about. How about you air a joint practice? Right. Or the joint practice whip around, you know, something like that. Because I would actually watch, and I think a lot of fans would take a lot out of it. And I'm sure that's why the coaches don't want people to watch it, because it's like, hey, we don't want to get that stuff on tape. But like, everyone's stuff is all on tape. We all know what you're doing. But to go back to this game, it sounds like, based on what Kevin O'Connell said to the Minnesota media, he does not anticipate the Ravens to play their starters as well.
Mitchell wouldn't, like, yesterday wouldn't give an answer, but it, like,
we can wrap M&M, but we can't tell people what we're doing with the rotation.
He said there, when asked if there were going to be starters out there, there may be, but he said not to, but I don't want to set it in stone. This could vary one way or the other. He says, so, I mean, just basically just talking in circles.
It's the preseason, bro.
Like,
it's the
Who cares?
Who cares?
I just don't. I do not understand.
What are you hiding?
Yeah.
Who cares? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Even those Michigan guys. I don't know. Maybe they're out there. They got Connor Stallion somewhere on the staff. I don't know what's going on.
I'm just like, I'm looking at this. And I'm going, guys, this is not that. It's not that big of a deal.
It's not serious.
It's not that big of a deal.
Not that serious.
And the thing is like these. If you're one of the quarterbacks too, like, you probably would want to know whether you're playing or not.
Yeah.
And maybe they tell them behind the scenes.
I'm assuming they know.
But it's like, it seems like then we would get a leak, because like the stuff always leaks.
Unless maybe this is like the trust tree situation where it's like, hey, like, I'm going to tell you this. Don't say anything. Yeah. And if it leaks, then I know, okay, I can't trust you.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a different exercise.
Yeah, see, that's good. It very well could be because we didn't get any sort of leaks. And like you said, you would assume that they would tell the players themselves.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, if I'm Lamar, I'm like, bro, like, what the hell's going on?
Am I playing or not? Yeah. Like, you gotta let me know. Like, what's going on here, man? So, anyway, these will be getting going here. Hopefully, NFL Network will show us at least one of them. You know, like maybe we can give you some live updates
on
all this
stuff.
They said
they're supposed to show us Bills, Browns. We got Shador playing for a whole half. So all eyeballs will be on Northeast Ohio. So that I do expect, whenever they do kickoff, we will see that game. The rest of them, not so sure. But we'll at least get Bills, Browns.
We hope that we are going to be able to help you guys out, you know, with some live stuff here. But again, no promises.
Let's see. Are we still 7-7 with the Commanders, Lions? Looks like, two-minute warning.
Yes.
In the second quarter.
Exactly what you asked for is exactly what happened here. They're already down. They're already on third string there in Washington at the quarterback position. So you're running pretty pure here on this one.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
That's all I can ask for.
Absolutely love it. Where did Ethan Kalikamakis?
Kalikamakis?
Yes.
He was a Minnesota guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He is.
You didn't watch Big Ten football?
He's already in. So he's already in.
Is he a rookie or a second year guy? Because I always forget.
He was the 223rd pick in the draft, and I guess he ended up at Rutgers. So I guess he played at Rutgers last year.
So he was at Minnesota, then he went to Rutgers, and I guess he just got drafted.
The 223rd pick there by Washington. So I think your under is looking pretty good, man. I've been telling you, you got the 223rd pick in there right now already. So,
hey, you know what? Not too far off from Tom Brady. What was he, 199?
Yeah.
You know? You never know with this stuff. Yeah. But Ethan Kalikamakis is in for the Washington Commanders. We are finally underway in Northeast Ohio. Who's that quarterback?
I guess they
showed us a huddle. We didn't see. It's also raining, it looks like, based on the sky cam. So I'm hoping that could maybe it's windy. Kick up the wind here. Is this? This is Kyle Allen. I believe that's who we have at quarterback. So we have live football on our screens.
We do have that, and it looked like there was nobody in the stands.
I mean, which is a little.
Yeah,
it's kind of disappointing, right? Like there's a legit quarterback competition going on. Like the Browns games were one of the few teams they actually want to watch.
I was gonna say they zoomed out, and it looked like there was nobody in the stands. I'm like, come on, guys,
no more wide shots.
Yeah, wow,
no more wide shots.
Well, we'll let you know how that one plays out here. We do have some baseball that'll be starting here in about 30 minutes. Like we said, it's Toronto, New York. That is Cease versus Weathers, 6.5, super low total here in this one. About a coin flip as far as the side here. Nothing for me, but certainly. An interesting game, strictly just from the Cy Young aspect of all of this, right? I mean, like with Cease, it seems like every time we get a good one out of Schlittler, we get a good one out of Cease. They kind of been going one for one with each other.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now at DraftKings to win the Cy Young. Of course, Schlittler's your favorite, minus 190. Cease, plus 150. Sort of a two-horse race because the next closest guy is Drew Rasmussen and Sonny Gray. They're at 35-1. Parker Messick, the rookie's at 50. So it feels like we just have those two guys in the AL East that are going to be one of them going to be win your AL Cy
Young. And this market is very reactionary. So it's like if you like Cease, you should bet him now before the game starts because – this will move. Like, we continue to see this. Like, if he has a good start, this will move because people come in and just bet it, like, live, essentially.
It's going to move one way or the other. Yeah. Either he's going to pitch well and it's going to move in your favor, or he's going to pitch poorly and all of a sudden Schiller's minus 250. Yeah. You know? It's like, either way, it's going. But if you have an opinion in this market, I would register it before first pitch between the Blue Jays and the Yankees. Big game, though, like you mentioned, though, because, like, Toronto, they're a team that I look at and say, you know what? If they could ever just get in, maybe they could be dangerous. I know. This American League is so wide open. They're only a game and a half back in that wild card. Just as much as we talk about the Mariners, you have to put the Blue Jays in that conversation. You have to put the Tigers
in
that conversation.
That we are having this and that
it
we have to talk about.
Pouring in
this.
Cleveland, by the way.
Oh, that's why no one's in the stands.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. All right, Browns
fans. Now it makes sense.
We get it, dog pound. We're not going to throw shade.
Wow.
I would not be there either in that pouring rain.
You got to hate this if you're the coaching staff, too, because now you'll get a real true evaluation, of.
What did this close? I'm trying to see, like, what was the closing total here? Like, did the betting market see the weather? Did it react to that? Let's see the closing total. So looks like we closed about 37. I think consensus.
Wow, you can't see it like on because the cameras have gotten so good, but when they pan out, it is pouring.
It's coming down. It's coming down pretty good.
Not the type of rain that we don't care about. This is like could affect things type rain.
Yeah, this is like this is game is about to be sloppy type of rain. So hopefully it leads to no points.
I take it back, Cleveland. I would be at home as well.
Ain't no way I'm going.
I threw it out there. I was talking trash. Wasn't fair. I would not be
the dog pound.
Not be at that game either. That rain is coming on down. I would be watching this on TV just like we are. When we come back, Femi's got some baseball plays. We'll talk about those. See if you want to get them in your account.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, Cleveland, we started off by like talking trash about you guys, and now it is seek shelter immediately, as literally what was put on the screen there at the stadium. Seek shelter immediately as the weather has taken a turn for the worse. We're wondering if, I mean, because they showed the radar, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Nope. So, I mean, we'll see if they even get back out there today. I don't know.
It looks pretty brutal. The question that I asked you right as we were getting back on the air, why did we even start?
Yeah.
Why didn't we just delay this a little bit to the evening if need be? I don't know how long this system is passing by. I don't have the Doppler radar up here. I haven't majored in meteorology, but it looked pretty rough.
Unfortunately for us, we get no games again. So there we go. So now we get no games again. So
if only there was a game that we could put on. There's only like two or three other options.
We'll just be following along like y'all.
Here's Brock Osweiler and David Carr. We'll just watch them.
This is my unpopular opinion, Femi. Everyone starts screaming at me. So fire away. Here it comes on the Twitter. This is why I like domes. I like to see stuff in its purest form, and I understand that people are going to be like, no, football weather is football weather, and you play in the cold and the whatever and all this. It's like, I kind of just want to see the two teams and play against each other, and like the best team wins, and it's not like who got the wind one half and who didn't and whatever and all these things and stuff. Like, you know, again, we're playing this game right now. There's a dome. I'm just saying. We're playing this game right now.
So they are building a dome in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I don't know what year it's going to be done or whatever. Obviously, every new stadium that is now being built is a dome because they all want Final Fours and Super Bowls and concerts and all that stuff to also supplement and bring in some revenue.
And people still show up, as we just saw. Like, there was no one at this game. Like, literally, there's no one at this game. There was, like, 15 people in the stands.
It was very few people. Yeah. Well, look, they took us to a dome in Minneapolis.
There we go. Now we get some football to go in
have a live look at Ravens and the Vikings, a game that I do not have a bet on. So we'll just be watching this one as fans in its purest form. But I don't know. Like, your dome thing, it's like, to me, if you're one of these teams, like, unless it's the frigid cold, like how it is in like Minneapolis, like, I understand why they're in a dome. Like, Cleveland, it plays into your strengths, doesn't it? If you're a rough, rugged defense, it's like, hey, like, let's bring this dome team up here and, like, let's see if we can go out there and beat them. Like, it adds to your home field advantage versus in a dome environment. It's like, okay, well, like, I guess the dome could get loud, but the conditions are ideal, whether it's in September or it's in January.
So we did get J.J. McCarthy starting here for Minnesota. So we'll see if there anything
the official
can,
QB too.
Yeah, can get going there for J.J. McCarthy, who, man, it was like, I thought the writing was on the wall anyway. I mean, I was saying all offseason, like, there's almost zero chance, unless Kyler Murray is absolutely cooked.
Yeah.
You didn't bring in Kyler Murray to back up J.J. McCarthy. No. You brought in Kyler Murray because you thought, hey, we need a starter. Like, we don't have a starter here.
And I don't think Kyler Murray signed saying I'm in a QB competition. Yeah. Like, there was other options. Yeah. He could have signed in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He could have signed elsewhere with the Jets or these other teams where he would have been the starting quarterback. I think when he signed in Minnesota, it was, hey, yeah, you are our starter. Mm-hmm. And, like, we'll do the competition thing, but you're the guy, unless you do something horrendous throughout training camp or in the offseason, which he did not do, which is why he is QB1. I go back and forth. Mm-hmm. I lean towards I'm in on Minnesota just because their quarterback play last year was so bad and they still somehow won nine games.
Kyler Murray is going to play with by far the best weapons he's ever played with in his career.
And that's
by far the best coaching.
No disrespect to Trey McBride. Right. We all know you're talented, but you're not Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. And this is the best coaching staff he's ever had as well. And so again, if he's not completely washed, if he's not completely cooked, you're throwing the ball to Jefferson, Addison, and Jennings, and then Hockenson, if you want to throw him in there as well. That is by far the best that Kyler Murray's ever had. And so I'll put it this way. I'm at least intrigued by this offense. I'm intrigued by what could potentially come of Kyler Murray with real weapons and a real coach behind him.
Kyler Murray, by the way, just turned 29 earlier this month.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's like 36.
Right.
You know, like, Kyler
Murray's
not
a lost cause or whatever.
Like, he is still a young player, at least relatively young, at least in quarterback years, as we know a lot of quarterbacks can play a little bit longer. I'm there with this Minnesota team, man. Like, the more I think about it, the more I like just to talk about it. I think that what they can do defensively, it's still a talented roster in a division that's difficult. Mm-hmm. 100%. It is difficult. But if we're talking about, like, I could see all four of those teams winning it. Like, this is the opposite of the NFC South.
Yeah.
Like, NFC South, I could see all four teams winning for all the wrong reasons.
Right, exactly.
This division, the North, I could see them all winning for all the right reasons.
That's perfectly said.
Like, you can make the case for all four of these teams, so why not make the case for the longest shot on the board?
The Cardinals are on the road at the Phillies today. This is Quinn Matthews versus Andrew Painter. And thanks to Sports Savant, who just tweeted. So the Phillies are currently on the 300 level of the stadium, hitting golf balls into a trash can for their fantasy football draft order. So the first one to make it gets the first pick, and then it just continues to go from there. So that's how what's going on with the Phillies right now. Feeling pretty good, it seems like. Phillies got it going on. But again, Quinn Matthews going up against Andrew Painter here. We talked about this Phillies team now very much in the NL East picture. This is no longer let's get into the wild card. I mean, they can go and they can win this division. What do you like in this one?
I was, when you were talking about the fantasy football thing before, I was like, who was the player that like slapped somebody in the outfield? And I remember it was Tommy Pham.
Over
the fantasy football. Like, I think it was like somebody owed somebody money or something like that. Like, so like just Phillies, just the vibes are good, but like, let's just be careful. All right. Like, let's not get too crazy with this stuff. But I do like the Phillies in the first five, at least. Hopefully they can get it done with Andrew Painter on the mound. -135. Painter's had his fair share of struggles. I'm not going to try to pretend that he has not, but back at home, hopefully a little bit more comfortable, coming off a rough start. I like the usually back pitchers coming off of poor starts. And I think he and the Phillies get it done. Like, he just tends to be a little bit unlucky as well when you go under the hood and look at some of those underlying metrics. So you got to pay a little bit of a price. Minus 135 is what you have to pay. But I like Philadelphia at home to keep the good vibes rolling, at least in the early going. I don't know what the bullpens are going to do, but in the early going, I like Philadelphia to take care of business against St. Louis.
Yeah, like you said, if you look at Painter, a full point and a half better on the expected over the last three starts than it is what you get on the surface. And honestly, like, I mean, only 30% hard contact. It's not like he was getting lit up or anything or whatever. I mean, only 30% hard contact. So, I mean, there was just, you know, baseball's weird. Round ball, round bat. Like, weird things happen sometimes. So, yeah, I definitely can get behind him. If you follow prospects and stuff like that, huge prospect. Like, you know, the lots of big things expected out of him there for this Philly squad. Let's get to one of your other plays here on the Cubs. And this Cubs team, again, lots to like in Chicago right now, including Pete Crow Armstrong, who just continues to look like a man possessed out there.
Every game feels like he's hitting a home run, right? Like, it's like these guys going back and forth, PCA, Shohei Ohtani, PCA, Shohei Ohtani. I'm rolling with the Cubs, and this one pains because I'm a Mariners fan. I'm excited for Cade Anderson. I'm excited for the Mariners to try to make a run. I'm hoping somehow that this can maybe be a World Series preview, perhaps. But I think sometimes when you get so much hype around a prospect, it gets a little bit too baked into the betting market to where it's like, okay, like, Cade Anderson, as great as he has been in AA and as great as he has been with his pedigree, like, he's now going against one of the best teams in baseball since the summer months and is now like laying minus 130 or whatever in the first five.
Yeah.
Like, that's asking a lot. I don't care how good he is and how good the pedigree is. That is asking a lot for him to be doing that. So I'm going to play against that. And also, I'm going to play on to David Peterson, who in the past has not been one of my favorites, but this year has actually been a little bit better from the expected stuff than what he's actually been getting. Like, the FIP is much lower than what the ERA is. I don't know what the expected ERA looks like, but he's been a tad unlucky. And with this Cubs defense behind him, which is the best defense in baseball, I like Chicago, especially at the plus money price. And what is probably more so a coin flip kind of a game in the first five, I'll take the plus 115 all day long.
Yeah, and listen, when you get a call up like this, people get so excited, right? And as they should. Listen, if you're a Mariners fan, you should be excited about Cade Anderson. I mean, listen, this is one of the most unbelievable minor league performances we have seen in a very, very, very long time. So it is a lot to get hyped up. But when you get as much fanfare as he does, then you almost get like unfair expectations in your very first start in the pros, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the adrenaline will be pumping. The nerves are always going to be there. It's like your first big league start. It's on national television, by the way. I know it's Fox Regional or whatever, but like this will be like a lot of the country will be able to see this start. There's going to be just like that, like those jitters that are not there for your usual starts. So I'll play against that, especially too with the Mariners walking it off last night. Let's play the other side. I think the Cubs, at least first five, get it done against Seattle.
Look at this guy against one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball is a favorite against, you know, I mean, that's just where we are with all of this. You know, I mean, that Cup lets you know what people think of him anyway.
Since the All-Star break, the Cubs have the second best record in the big leagues just behind the Red Sox. The Cubs have been tremendous.
Yeah,
they won the series against the Dodgers or whatever, swept the Dodgers. Like, they've been awesome. And now it's like, hey, welcome to the big leagues, buddy. Who are you facing? Chicago. Am I favorite? Am I an underdog? Yeah, you're expected to win. Good luck.
Unbelievable. But it's a watch regardless. You got to tune in. And make sure that you have that on the screen as well. When we come back, we've not mentioned golf yet, and the leaders are not actually out on the course yet. So we'll get to to that. Femi's got some more baseball plays as well, and of course, we have some late preseason games to get to. Lots in the last 90 minutes here on Ready Set Bet.
To Ready Set Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The golf playoffs are happening right now, and I understand we're football happy right now. We talk about all these pennant races. I mean, there's all kinds of great stuff that's going on in sports right now, but we are on the second leg here of this, the BMW Championship. Wyndham Clark is your leader right now at 12 under. He's a stroke up on Gary Woodland, who's at 11. JJ Spahn is at 10, and then you got a couple of guys sitting there at 9, and Sung J.M. Chris Goddard up as well. You know, Femi, I made the case for this on the podcast this week with Wes, and I think just the golf playoffs in general, I think to get some juice behind it, I think they need to play these things at like iconic courses, because it's like, it's not a major. And so like, if it's not a major, like the majors get their own juice just because they're majors or whatever. Like, could we get more people interested in this if this was at Pebble this week? You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, the BMW changer from Pebble Beach, you know, and like
Torrey Pines.
Yeah, like people know Pebble Beach, the course, the beauty of it, and all the things. And listen, Bellevue's an awesome golf course, but it doesn't hold any, for the average fan, it doesn't hold any juice like whatsoever. And I'm trying to figure out what they can do. I think they should talk about the money aspect more than they do as well. I think that this is one of the things that they maybe got even further away from when Liv got around, because Liv was throwing around these just stupid numbers and stuff. And like, I think the PGA Tour didn't want to talk about, you know, the money as much. But listen, how do we make a game more intriguing to someone who is not an actual fan? Okay, man, like, hold it an iconic course. Talk about the fact that last week when Sam Burns birdied, I mean, when bogeyed 18, it cost him $600,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, the tournament, Scotty was running away with the tournament. How do you add intrigue to something that is already over? It's a foregone conclusion Scotty's going to win. Well, by the way, if this guy birdies this, it's worth $1.5 million because he would have had outright second. If he pars it, it's going to cost it. And if he bogeys, which he did, it was a $600,000 hit to him.
Which is insane.
Yeah. like a putt for $600K. And like, no, they don't even talk about it.
And I don't know if it's because it's like, it's a gentleman's game or like that whole aspect of it, which maybe that's kind of playing into why they want to stay away from that. But like, you're much more into golf, because like, Long Shots podcast, everybody out there, make sure you take it wherever you get your podcast. You, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin, every week you guys are locked in. I like to bet, obviously, the majors. Mm-hmm. I'll bet some of the big events that are along the PGA Tour. But, like, this is usually when I, like, eject from the golf sphere. Because, like I said, like, the FedEx Cup playoffs doesn't really mean a whole lot. It doesn't have a tradition to it. And there's nothing that's going to, like, really drive me to being, like, I want to watch the FedEx. Unless somebody was like, hey, bet this guy, and that person's in contention. I'm like, okay, then I'll tune in for Saturday and Sunday. But I didn't have that this year. So, like, I didn't bet the St. Jude last week. I didn't bet the BMW this week or whatever. I'm not planning to bet the Tour Championship at East Lake next week or whatever. So it's just, it's difficult. When you handicap it, though, like, because, like, are the players all the way locked in as if this is a major? Because, like, what is that like? Because, like, that's the part for me, as I would say, a little bit more than casual. Because, like, I'll watch, like, you know, the RBC or whatever like that. But I'm not, like, a diehard like you guys on the Long Shots podcast. Like, how do the players go about this in terms of their mindset?
I think you can almost look and see, like, how Scotty started out this tournament and stuff, which was very poor by his standards and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is last week, that win locked up the number one overall spot for him. And so they actually give out the $100 million bonus pool after this week. And then the next week, the top 30 is just a separate $40 million like tournament on its own, right? Yep. So Scotty last week by winning locked up $24 million to first or whatever. So like, he came out and shot over par. Like, it's because it's like, you know, again, it's like,
he's out there for the vibe.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting a $24 million check at the end of this tournament, no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter. He could finish dead last and it doesn't matter.
Like, it's great to be outside, play with my buddies.
Right. And so I think it like kind of shows in some of the play that we saw early on here too, where it's just like, I kind of know where I'm at, you know, in the standings, because once the points shake out, there's still guys trying to get into the top 30 so they can go play next week. And those might be the guys you look at a little bit further, but the dudes that were in for sure. And there was only a little bit of jockeying that could be done anyway. Like, second place was only between Cam Young and Matt Fitzpatrick. Like those were the only two options there to get second. Right. And so like, a guy in eighth couldn't get up to second place anyway, you know? And so it's just, I don't know. It's better than the whole weighted stroke system thing that they were doing and all of that.
Yeah, that was strange.
But it's definitely they've not perfected this. They've not figured out how to do this. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I really, maybe move it earlier to where you're like not getting into the football vibes too, maybe, or something. Because again, we've kind of started to shift our focus a little bit.
Because I guess like the reason why, because like they want all the tournaments to matter, and then like they don't want to just be like, hey, here's just one prestigious tournament at the end where like people don't care about like the RBC or the whatever, you know, like so I get why they kind of want to drag the whole season through here, but it's just it's a tough sport to like make sure you have like a season long like this was the best player of the season kind of thing. It's more so just like you kind of just have to have prestigious tournaments.
Yeah.
Like here's your majors. Here are these prestigious tournaments at the end. And like, yeah, like they're gonna have some rando events, and that people are gonna win those. But like these have to matter to a degree to where like everyone is all in for that week, and otherwise we're not gonna be all in.
Producer Rick put in here, when was the last time these guys won a tournament? Like talking about Cantlay, Spieth, Thomas, and Fowler. So Fowler won fairly recently. So Fowler won in the last couple of years.
I feel like he won like last year.
Yeah, and then so did Justin Thomas. Now Cantlay, I know for a fact, hasn't won in 4 years.
He won the BMW, didn't he? Like a while ago. Like it was.
Yeah, like I think
it was him and Bryson in a playoff.
Yeah, like the
that's how long ago.
Cantlay had won in over 4 years. So this is, I scream about this on the podcast all the time because Wes and Kelly have both bet him. At some point over the last like little bit, and I'm going, why do you guys want to light money on fire? This guy never gets across the finish line. Like ever gets across the finish line. Like it's been forever since 2022 for Cantlay. Like I said, it was 4 years. I knew it was like 4 years.
That's insane.
Since he's won on tour, and so you just like look at these guys, and it's like betting placement market stuff on them, fine, but like. There is something to being able to go out for four straight rounds and then get across the finish line. It's just golf's hard anyway, as everybody knows. If you play golf, golf's just tough as it is anyway. And then certainly when you're either trying to go chase one down or you're in the lead and you're trying to hold the lead, one bad shot. Golf is so penal. That's why what Scotty is doing right now, I just think people don't fully accept the unbelievable greatness that we are watching, because one bad shot derails a whole tournament. You hit in the water one time and now you can't win a tournament. Like Scotty just every single week goes out every single week and just plays good golf every week. It's unbelievable.
He's a model of consistency.
Yeah.
He's the model of consistency. And like, yes, like I know he didn't win like the big tournament, like the major this year or whatever. And like, it's feel like it's been a while since he's actually won, but I mean, like you can just bet on that guy being in contention.
Yeah.
And like, that's why he's always going to be short priced.
Just, it's, you know, just,
like, it's like you go into a tournament. It's like, oh yeah, Scotty's 6-1. And it's like, well, he hasn't won. Well, like, if you had to bet on one of these guys to be there on Sunday, who would you bet on?
It's going to be him.
It's him, right? Yeah. So that's why he has to be 6-1. Like, they're not going to give you Scotty at 20-1 just because he hasn't won in a while.
Exactly.
You would
bet him every time. Yeah.
You'd bet him every single time.
I would bet
him
every week. I would just bet a single bullet every week, and then he's going to get there.
Exactly.
And he's going to get there.
I'll bet Scotty, and then I'll figure it out on late Saturday or Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
What I want to do with it.
Guys, we just said college football guide, probably the best thing we do here at VSiN. I mean, it's very tough to try and figure out where all these, all these guys are playing, what's going on. So go in. We broke all this down. 138 FBS teams, if you were wondering. We got Matt Eumanns in there breaking down his preseason top 50. We got all the different conference championships from everybody and then who we think is going to make the playoff and ultimately win the whole thing. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's as little as $9.99. And with that, you get every single thing that we do, not just the college football betting guide, all of the daily articles, all the projection systems, all the stuff out there, breaking down stuff across this crazy sports landscape. It's like you said, we're heading down the stretch here in baseball. We got football starting, golf going, all kinds of craziness, man.
Did you notice with the VSiN college football betting guide? I charted it because I was just curious.
Okay.
So 22 experts for the guide. Only two had your LSU Tigers making it all the way to the CFP semifinals.
Yes.
So like they can make the playoffs, but to actually get to the semifinals where we get to the area where it's like, oh, like this is where Ole Miss was last year.
Right.
Only two people with LSU.
I think a lot of people don't like the unknown, and I think that's fair. Like, I mean, I think it is fair. Like, new coaching staff, new quarterback, basically the entire roster turned over because they went into the portal and just plucked, a million guys out of the portal and sticking them all together. Now, most of those guys were at the very top of the transfer rankings, and all of that. And so does that equal success on the field? Who knows? I mean, you look at the schedule, the season really starts. I think they handle Clemson. So I think the schedule really starts there week three at Ole Miss. And trust me, down in Baton Rouge, if they do not win that game, Femi, let me tell you, the pitchforks will come out. I mean, like there is no, There is no leniency at all down there. Like, they expect... I was joking
they
earlier.
Expect it.
I was joking. Like, the people down in Baton Rouge expect LSU to be the first 21-0 team ever. Like, they're going to win extra games, like, somehow. Like, they're just going to, like, go add games to the schedule to go 21-0. That's what they expect. And trust me, they lose that week three game, it is going to get nasty down there. When we come back, what do we think about the NFC West?
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know, Femi, they say to always keep learning. And yeah. I'm learning, even at my advanced age here. Apparently, football likes to use the term suspended as opposed to delayed. Mm. We were wondering, does that mean the game is off? But no, they're just saying it is currently temporarily suspended.
Due to the lightning.
Yeah, not delayed. It's just suspended.
A nice little system going through Northeast Ohio. Why that is of importance for us? Well, for me, selfishly, I'm on the under. So I would like to see what would happen with my bet, the resolution there. And also, too, like, most importantly, not just for myself, mm-hmm. I mean, what's going to happen with this Browns quarterback competition? Todd Monken said that they're going to make a decision over the weekend and announce, I think, something on Monday. We're all expecting it to be Deshaun Watson, but maybe if Shedeur Sanders lights the world on fire today, maybe he can make Todd Monken think about something and maybe make this a tougher decision than we all think on the outside looking
in. Do you think they've already made the decision?
I feel like they have.
I think you can go from Watson to Sanders. I don't know if you can go from Sanders to Watson, then back to Sanders. You know, because like eventually they know. I mean, Deshaun Watson's done. Like, I mean, you know, they're not gonna finish the season with him at quarterback. And so like I
hit him with a franchise tag. I think
it's like you start with him, it's the easy transition to move to Shedeur then at that point. And you go on from there. I think you have to at least feel like you didn't just completely light $250 million on fire and throw him out there for a few games. But I mean, this will go down as the worst trade in history, right? I mean, like, this will be the absolute worst in any sport, anything ever. Because when you, like we just said, you cannot win in this league without a quarterback, and you just absolutely sold the farm for this dude that's going to end up giving you
nothing.
Four games, five games of start. Yeah, well, there's six, seven games, like, starting.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I guess, and this might be a hard question to answer, but between Watson and Shedeur, who do you think has the higher upside? Because if I'm Todd Monken, that's what, because I'm like, there's no guarantee Todd Monken's back.
Yeah.
You know, like, it could be a one and done situation. So, like, he has to coach this. Like, his job is on the line, even though this is year one. Who do you think gives him the higher upside to potentially have as successful a year as possible in 2026?
I mean, I think it probably has to be Shedeur, just because at least we don't know if there's any upside. Yeah. Like, if there is a next level.
It's an unknown.
It seems like with Watson, we've just kind of, his skills have just evaporated.
And exactly. Two Achilles injuries as well.
It seems like his skills are gone now at this point. At least with Shedeur, maybe there's another level. I don't think there is, but maybe.
Yeah, but maybe.
Maybe there is.
Yeah, because that's the case, I think if I were Todd Monken, I think I would roll the dice and say, you know what, Shedeur, you're our week one starter.
Yeah.
like let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens. Because I don't know how you're supposed to make the most of the situation. If they could get him to be competent and not turn the ball over, maybe they could do something with the surrounding pieces. But because, like, if you look at that division, I'm nowhere close to everyone else with Cincinnati. I'm out on the Bengals. Mm. I'm out on the Steelers. I think Baltimore is going to just cakewalk to winning the division, barring injury. But someone has to finish second.
Mm.
Like, if they got competent quarterback play, I would love Cleveland to finish second. It's just that, like, can you get the competent quarterback
play? Yeah. The problem here, too, is, like, with Watson, there's absolutely no upside, right? So it's like he plays good, and then he wins too many games for you to get to the top of the draft.
Yeah.
Or he plays bad, and then you have gone out and you have basically taken this dude that no one likes, extremely unpopular, no one like whatever, and then you threw him out there to lose, to go 0-5 or whatever. So there's almost no upside to play
there's
Watson,
none.
Right?
There's none.
Because you don't want to win too many games to where you can't reset the franchise in the draft this coming season. And then if he goes out there and goes 0-5, then the fans go, Really? Yeah. Really?
It's like, boo.
Really? Yeah, like, really? Okay.
It's
you
all
put
a
this
mess.
Guy that we hate out here if we're to lose five games in a row. So, I don't know. Horrible situation.
Say what you want about Shedeur Sanders, because and there's a lot to say. I'm sure a lot of people out there on social media are saying it. The fan base is at least is like intrigued by it.
Yeah.
They're into like the whole like, hey, like it's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Deion's kid and all that stuff. Like, I think it's all just like for naught, and I don't think it's going to turn into anything, but at least they can feel somewhat good about themselves cheering for him as opposed to cheering for Deshaun Watson.
Me and Femi walked into the studio, and Tim Murray was quick to remind us that he'll be heading to Hawaii. As he said, I'll be telling you guys aloha, he said, here in a couple of days. So
safe travels,
Rainbow
Tim.
Authentics and VEASAN taking the bets to the beach here. Tim and Matt Humans heading to Hawaii. VEASAN Primetime is going to come from there Wednesday, the 26th, and you get a beach edition of the College Football Betting Podcast as well, breaking down all the Week Zero action. He's not drinking out of a coconut or something or whatever. I mean, I'm going to be very upset.
He's doing it wrong if he's not. I'm
going to be very upset if that's not going on here. But again, VEASAN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August the 26th, starting at 7 Eastern here on the channel.
That's a pretty good assignment. Because Hawaii right now, because I always get thrown off based on like daylight savings and standard time, whatever. They're 2 hours behind us in Hawaii.
Okay.
I think they are. So his show, VEASAN Primetime, which is 7 to 11 Eastern, 3 to 7 West. So like, I mean, 1 to 5.
Yeah, they just rap and
God.
Yeah, I mean, good on them. Good on them with
that.
So
that's a tough assignment, Tim and Matt.
And let me tell you, Trip Tepper tweets into us and he just says, "Yes, the FedEx Cup playoffs have absolutely no identity, no buzz at all." And it's just like, you know, and this is Trip follows the golf as well. You know, a frequent contributor over the Twitter machine to the shows, and so, yeah, it's just there's. Like we said, I don't know exactly what you do. Maybe you try to not overlap with football as much as you can or something or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what you do, but got to do something because it's just it's a shame. Like you said, these guys play all season long to make it to this thing that no one cares about.
Nobody cares.
It's like your whole thing is to make it to this, and then it's that no one cares about.
Every year after the Open Championship, everyone's like, "Oh, well, golf season's over." I'm like, and I'll watch a little bit of golf after the Open Championship, but like once we get to the FedEx Cup playoffs, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm watching preseason football, I'm watching college football, like I'm into other stuff. Baseball, the division races, wild card races are heating up. It's like golf is a cool sport. It's fun, and it's a shame that this is kind of how the season ends every year.
So you can bet exact finishing positions in these various divisions and stuff. And so if you look at the NFC West, obviously the Cardinals to finish fourth in that division.
Minus 700?
Minus 1,900.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Minus 1,900 for them to finish last in that division. Another team that desperately needs to get to the top of the draft. I mean, like, it so badly needs to get to the top of the draft and hit the reset button for that. But the other three teams are interesting, and I'm curious your thoughts here. I mean, the Rams, I love the Rams. I have tried as hard as I can to nitpick the Rams, and then the fact that they are very likely to get even better. Because, I mean, listen, Aaron Donald isn't doing what he's doing if he's not coming back.
No,
he's not going out to these practices and going full effort and all this stuff. He doesn't plan on coming back. So he's going to be on that defensive line. Now, maybe in some sort of part-time role or whatever, something like that. But, hey, I'll have him rush past. Listen, him and good luck, by the way, if you're going to try and take him and Myles Garrett down. But I like them. I like them to win. So now, to me, I think it's a battle for second and third between the Niners and the Seahawks. And like, you can get the Seahawks at plus 215 to finish second, exactly second in that division. And I like the Seahawks actually a decent amount more than I like the 49ers. Like if I was looking at these right here, that is at least somewhat intriguing to me. I know a lot of people don't want to lock money up for an entire season for a 2-to-1 bet, but if your bankroll does allow, I think that's at least somewhat interesting.
I can't get past what you said with Arizona. And it leads me to ask, I'm like, is there value on 8-to-1 third place?
Right.
Like one of these teams that we like has season from hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether, I mean, for some reason, I've seen 17 tweets about Jake Bobo tearing his ACL. I'm like, guys, like he's not that important to the team. why are we? I get it's offseason, it's August, but like, and like, hey, speedy recovery. We'll see in 2027. But like, come on, like Schefter has been tweeting this like around the clock for the last like 36 hours. But like let's if Seattle has season from hell injury wise, if the Rams have a season from hell, or that. Who could ever imagine the Niners having a season from hell from an injury standpoint? Yeah. Like, could one of those teams ever be last place and all of a sudden Arizona's third? Like, let's say, I don't know, Carson Beck turns into being like a pretty good quarterback. Mike LaFleur, young up-and-coming coach, mm-hmm. offensive line, brilliant mind. And defensively, yeah, you got to squint a lot to try to figure something out there. But like, it's 8-1 to finish third.
Yeah.
Not even
Win. Right.
To
exactly.
Third.
Exactly.
8-1. Like, we see these things happen all the time in the NFL where teams have bad seasons.
I'm with you on the fact that, like, I mean, you're one quarterback injury away, any of these teams
from being live.
From this being live. And like I said, maybe Beck has a little juice. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe Beck's got a little juice.
Like Jeremiah Love is super talented. Like, we all loved him at Notre Dame, mm-hmm. you know? Like, Trey McBride's a really good tight end. Like, that to me is what is most intriguing about these finishing positions in the NFC West. Because, like, yeah, I agree with you. I think the Rams are going to win the West. Like, Seahawks, Niners, I would favor Seattle in second place. But, you know, could Arizona ever sneak up to that third place spot? And if they do, Plus 800 is a hell of a payout.
I took a little sprinkle on Carson Beck for Rookie of the Year because, you know, they want to give these to quarterbacks and stuff. And, like, again, your future is not with Jacoby Brissett. They're going to turn to him at some point, and why not? You know, he could go in there and put up some numbers for sure. When we come back, let's talk about the NFC East.